Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello again and welcome back to my podcast for another roundup of the latest news and gossip from Westminster. I would normally be speaking to you from my secret basement below Downing Street, but unfortunately I'm self-isolating in Chequers. So in order not to disappoint my public, I've been forced to find a new hideaway in which to record my podcast. So I'm speaking to you from an old pantry downstairs which I discovered while looking for a place to shag one of the kitchen staff. And if I get peckish while I'm down here, there's plenty of grub on the shelves around me that I can tuck into. In fact, I thought it's best to avoid temptation altogether by making sure I ate something before I started. So since I've just had 3 tins of caviar and 1 kilogram jar of Nutella, I have a strange feeling in my tummy and I'm pretty sure I'm not in love. So I think we better get a move on. I'm pleased to say there has been no shortage of things to talk about over the last 7 days. Which is, of course, the week in which we all regain our freedom.
That they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
As well as talking about what that means, I will be forced to explain my little U-turn on self-isolating, I'll mention my fantastic speech on levelling up, and I may just have another look at what I said about people booing the England players when they took the knee. We managed to break the irony meter again this week when Health Secretary Sajid Javid tested positive for COVID 2 days before we dropped all the restrictions.
Hi everyone, I just wanted to update you all that I've tested positive for COVID. I was feeling a bit groggy last night, so I took a lateral flow test this morning and it's come out positive. So I'm now self-isolating at home with my family until I get the results of a PCR test.
Yes, the Health Secretary of the UK said that he felt ill, so took a lateral flow test, which is exactly what you're not supposed to do. A lateral flow test is only for when you have no symptoms, as anyone even remotely connected with the NHS would know, but not apparently the person in charge of it. I've been in contact with Sajid, of course, so I was a bit worried that I might get pinged by the app, but then I remembered that I deleted it weeks ago, along with all my other cabinet ministers. But then Rishi Sunak and I were contacted by NHS Test and Trace because we were given as close contacts by Sajid Javid. Having to self-isolate would obviously have been extremely inconvenient, and in any case, those rules are intended for ordinary people, not for us. So we did what Matt Hancock had successfully done in the same circumstances. We pretended we were taking part in a special pilot scheme that meant we could carry on as normal. Well, but for some reason, this seemed to go down about as well as a fart in a lift. Twitter exploded with accusations that this was yet another example of there being one rule for us and another for everyone else. Well, of course there is. But since when has that been a problem? I mean, the backlash was so fierce that I did what I always do in these situations. I pulled a screeching U-turn. Now, a little more than 2 hours after the first statement, we hastily issued another one announcing that we would be self-isolating after all. When the time comes to look back on the achievements of my government, one of the things I will be most proud of is my outstanding record on U-turns. I've had so much practice that I can now do them in my sleep. Our brilliant track record includes U-turns on herd immunity, NHS fees for migrant staff, reopening schools, free school meals twice, wearing masks in shops, quarantining travellers, A-level grades and many other issues. This is a result of having strongly held principles which I'm prepared to change at the drop of a hat if I think they could make me unpopular. And then I thought the best way to smooth things over would be to speak directly to the public about what had just happened.
Hi folks, like so many hundreds of thousands of other people across the country, I've been pinged, I've been asked to self-isolate by the test, trace and isolate system after I've been in contact with somebody who has COVID, in this case of course the Health Secretary Sajid Javid. And we did look briefly at the idea of us taking part in the pilot scheme which allows people to test daily, but I think it's far more important that everybody sticks to the same rules, and that's why I'm going to be self-isolating until the 26th of July.
Yes, I thought nothing would be more likely to calm things down than to look straight into the camera and tell blatant barefaced lies. The more observant among you may wonder whether saying I briefly considered doing the pilot scheme is an accurate reflection of what we did, which was to issue a press statement confirming that we definitely would not be self-isolating, and then send Robert Jenrick out to defend that position in the media. Well, the fact is that I thought this blatant lie sounded much better than the truth, which was that we thought we could break the rules and only change our minds because we got caught. There was another element of confusion after my U-turn. I originally said I would not be self-isolating and would continue to work at 10 Downing Street, but by the time of my U-turn, I said I would be spending my self-isolation period at Chequers, where I'd somehow mysteriously transported myself. Well, I'm sorry, but if I have to self-isolate, I'm buggered if I'm going to be sucking down the street when I could be in a 16th century manor house with 1,500 acres of grounds. And things are all going pretty well in the lead up to Freedom Day. Our daily cases passed 50,000 for the first time since January, and 1,200 leading scientists backed a letter to The Lancet, saying that my approach was unethical, unscientific, and a danger to the rest of the world. Just because the UK is now providing a fertile breeding ground for new variants that could be resistant to the vaccine and which could spread all over the globe. Now, there's an idea. Maybe new variants could become Brexit Britain's greatest export. And then at last, Freedom Day arrived. The restrictions that all the anti-lockdown nuts had been protesting about for months were finally gone. They got exactly what they wanted, so what did they do to celebrate this great victory? They had an anti-lockdown protest march in London and started fighting with the police. I mean, I can only assume it was a protest about the fact that they had nothing to protest about. Now, as you know, we call it Freedom Day because the virus is now free to spread far and wide as fast as it likes and to form all sorts of interesting new variants that are much better at killing us. But as I keep saying, if not now, when? Although the answer I usually get when I ask that question is, when infections aren't rising exponentially and more people have had both jabs, you fucking dickhead. But I'm determined to go ahead with Freedom Day, not least because it brings with it a great sense of freedom for myself too. I no longer feel responsible for managing the pandemic or preventing deaths. All that responsibility now rests firmly on the shoulders of those who run shops, pubs, restaurants, cinemas, nightclubs, and all other places that people can gather together to spread the virus around. If they want to insist that customers wear masks and stay 2 meters apart, that's up to them, but nobody will blame me for that decision. Or if they drop all the restrictions and create a high-risk environment and endanger all their customers, nobody can blame me for that either. One inevitable consequence of shifting responsibility onto businesses is that whatever they choose to do, they are going to have some very annoyed customers. If they're sensible and keep mitigations in place, all the anti-mask nutters will be furious, and they will vent their spleen at the individual businesses. They know it's their decision, not mine, and not the law. And if businesses choose to relax all the rules, they will get some libertarian fuckwit customers, but anyone with any sense will stay away. So it's lose-lose for them and win-win for me. However, just as Freedom Day started, I was rather concerned to see thousands of unvaccinated people crowding into packed nightclubs. I mean, what on earth were they thinking? Just because I say it's fine to do something, that doesn't mean that you have to go and do it. I mean, they should know better than to believe anything I say. So I had to hold a press briefing and tick young people off and warn nightclubs that I would be introducing compulsory COVID passports for nightclubs from the end of September, because for some reason it was fine for unvaccinated people to crowd into nightclubs for the next 6 weeks, but it wouldn't be fine after that. And then, as if Freedom Day hadn't got off to a bad enough start, Dominic Cummings reared his ugly head again in an interview with my former groupie, Laura Koonsberg.
His attitude at that point was a weird mix of Partly, it's all nonsense and lockdowns don't work anyway. And partly, well, this is terrible, but the people who are dying are essentially all over 80. And we can't kill the economy just because of people dying over 80.
Fortunately, this isn't news to anyone who's been paying attention. It's not that I particularly wanted lots of old people to die, but as PM, you have to balance these unfortunate deaths against other more important considerations, like keeping the right-wing press happy and not upsetting libertarian fuckwits in my party. So I'm pretty sure people will see that my intentions were pure.
Well, hello, it's me, real-life Victorian and human stick insect, Jacob Rees-Mogg. I wanted to take a moment to tell you about Patreon. It's very similar to being a Tory donor. For example, if you donate 5 million quid to the Conservative Party, you get a seat in the House of Lords and a go on Jennifer Acurio. Excellent value for money. Patreon is a way of supporting independent podcasts, such as this one, for as little as £3 a month. You can get bonus bits, exclusive content, episode shoutouts, early access, and much more. If this tickles your pickle, simply Google Parody Boris Johnson Patreon, or click the link in the show notes of the episode. And a particular big thank you to our two flagshagger patrons, John Platt and Jason Pritchard. So be a good Tory donor and support this podcast, or I'll send my nanny round to whip you. Ta-ta for now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I made a much anticipated speech this week about my pet project, Leveling Up. You remember Leveling Up, don't you? The two-word slogan that was a key part of my election campaign, but which nobody has ever been quite able to pin down in terms of what it actually means. So this was my big moment. After having to put it on the back burner for so long due to the pandemic, I could now finally get down to rolling out this long-promised Keystone policy. We trailed this speech for weeks. This was what everyone had been waiting for. This was where I would finally reveal the specific actions for how we were going to make Leveling Up a reality. Here was my long-term plan. Unfortunately, my idea of long-term planning is wondering who will be paying for my takeaway meal tonight. So, 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 Sorry, I droned on for some time giving a speech that could have best been described as tedious waffle, completely lacking in substance. I made loads of vague statements devoid of detail or specifics. I promised to raise living standards, spread opportunity and improve public services, but forgot to mention how any of this might be achieved. I did make one mistake in the speech, which I'd like to apologise. I said that it was an outrage that someone in Glasgow or Blackpool had a life expectancy 10 years shorter than someone living in Hampshire. I had, of course, meant to say that it was one of my proudest achievements, not an outrage, but I got mixed up. But then at last I finally threw in one specific proposal, an actual plan that involves spending new money. As if I was still giddy with the excitement of having to pretend I liked football, I promised to create 185 new community football pitches. However, I wisely decided not to mention that 236 playing fields have been sold off since we came to power in 2010. So what I really promised was 56 fewer pitches than we had 10 years ago. But then I hit home with a real point of the speech, just as everyone was thinking I didn't have any idea what levelling up meant and had no plan for how to do it. That's when I dropped my biggest idea. I asked people to email me with any suggestions they had for how to do a bit of levelling up. That's it. Seriously, the main highlight of my grand plan for levelling up was to say, has anyone got any bright ideas, because I'm buggered if I have. And just in case anyone did come up with any brilliant ideas, I felt obliged to touch briefly on how any such grand plans might be paid for, so that's why I said I wasn't attracted to the idea of tax rises on hardworking people. In other words, when people come up with their brilliant ideas for what levelling up is, they need to make sure that they cost absolutely nothing, otherwise they'll be rejected. We are the Tories after all, so you can be sure that the last thing we will do is raise taxes to fund public services, and you can be even more sure that we won't raise taxes to help poor people. The real problem is that levelling up isn't meant to be something you actually do, it's something you say to people in order for them to vote for you. It's just a slogan, not a plan. So please don't be surprised that it doesn't involve actually doing anything. After the fallout from Euros, I was a bit concerned about people still talking about the fact that I didn't condemn the booing of the England players when they were taking the knee, so I decided to take some remedial action to correct the narrative. In a press briefing, I was asked about this by Beth Rigby from Sky.
You said you rejected what I said, but it is true that your ministers did not, from the start, condemn the booing of the players. Do you think that was a mistake? And as PM, do you personally now regret not being strong enough about this right from the start?
I always said that it was wrong to boo the England players, Beth, and that is my firm belief.
So there you have it, how to rewrite history in one easy lesson. I always said it was wrong to boo the England players. Not just a blatant lie, but one which is easily disproven immediately with copious documentary evidence. Which I'm proud to say means that we have reached a brave new frontier in the fight against truth and facts. We no longer need to be restrained by boring details like recordings of statements confirming the exact opposite of what I just said. These details no longer matter in a world now totally removed from factual reality, where whatever comes out of my mouth is the new alternative truth. This week saw one of the quietest announcements of the year. It was finally confirmed that the refurbishment of my flat was originally paid for by a Tory donor, something I had never admitted to. In the interest of being as open and transparent as possible, we published this in the Cabinet Office's annual report last Thursday. I was there as plain as day for all to see. And the fourth footnote on page 208. Well, I'm afraid this is the last episode in the current season of the Parody Boris Johnson podcast. There will be a new PMQs as usual on Monday, and then we will have a few summer special interviews with some really interesting people. Then we'll take a short break and be back in September with a brand new series. I must take a moment to thank our fantastic millionaire cronies on Patreon. So let's hear it for Andrew Smith, Nicholas Fisher, Simon Jenkins, Andrew Woodall, Zoe Smith, Jonathan Williams, Simon Roberts, Alison McCreeth, Ben Jackson, Louise Vaughan, Milton Yates. And if you're listening on Apple, we would really appreciate it if you could spare a few minutes to rate this podcast and write a brief review. You can catch up on past episodes of the podcast and all previous Plebs PMQs wherever you're listening to this. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy our interviews over the summer, and I will speak to you again when our new season starts in September. Goodbye.
We did look briefly at the idea of us taking part in the pilot scheme.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.